We're glad you're joining us here at Common Thread Online. This is a recording of our community gathering, as we do each week, to think together about the spiritual journey. At the end of the lesson, we open the floor for discussion. We'd love to hear what you're thinking, too. Go to our community's Facebook page, post your thoughts. I guess I could say our lesson / community meeting. Today wasn't going to be a lesson. It was really just going to be an extended announcement to get us thinking about coming back from quarantine. But as I began writing the lesson, I realized this is this current lesson that we're doing. This is adapt or die. It really is. This is how change happens. There's been such a high cost for so many people during this pandemic. Lost loved ones, lost livelihoods, and now there are glimmers of hope. There's light at the end. Time to begin rebuilding. But also, there's some reentry anxiety. I read an article, 51% of us have at least some reentry anxiety because we human beings, we do adapt to our environments. That's this lesson, using the little bit of willpower that we've got to shape our environment because, yeah, we do adapt to almost any environment. So if we create the environment that will shape us the way we want it to shape us, we will adapt to that environment. If there's been a silver lining to this quarantine, maybe being forced to slow life down, to have fewer options, to experience less decision fatigue, we've maybe been able to focus more on what really matters. But now, we're about to change again, and reentry anxiety. But while change is difficult, it's also opportunity. So I hope that you're looking ahead to reentry for your own life. I am. I hope you're asking yourself, what life do I want? What matters? What really matters? Because now's the time to craft a rough draft of the environment that you want shaping you. Because again, you shape your environment, and your environment then shapes your life. And we saw last week, if we don't create the environment that creates us, somebody will. Friends and neighbors will. Social expectations will. Our teams, our jobs, people who love us. The way it used to be, that's always going to be in the mix. And they are all lined up, ready to create an environment for us. And as they do, not considering at all, is this the life that we want? The life we really want, the inner life self wants. So now's the time to begin the process of discerning, questioning in an unhurried way because we've got some time. How do I want to spend my days? How do I want to spend my energy? How do I want to focus my mind space? What does my deepest self really want? Now, I know we've talked about it early in this lesson. That is a daunting question, very difficult for human beings, and I really do know that. So some very familiar, some very practical suggestions. This might be a good time to journal. Maybe use the examine template. Keep asking as you do journal, what does matter? What is important? Also, this is a good time to have conversations about this stuff with your spiritual friends, about what matters, about what you want, about the environment that you want shaping you. When we have these conversations and we say things out loud, it makes the question less daunting. And again, this might be a good time for some extra quiet. Turn off some noise source. Go for a walk. Maybe you could use a grid to ask your desire questions. Physically, what do I really want? Mentally, in my mind space, what do I really want? And spiritually, and relationally, and financially. Beyond what I should want, beyond the desires that have been imposed upon me, what really matters to me? So I hope you're making time for that to go deeply, kind of the way Jamie's experience went deeply. She knew things in her head, but it became an experiential. I hope you're doing that kind of thinking now and crafting a rough draft of your own reentry environment plan, because now's the time. But I'm also thinking about reentry for our own community. What's going to be different for us when we come back? Now, the bigger things, they won't be different. The most important things, they won't be different. We spent a long time reimagining and reframing the ancient wisdom and the ancient practice, and that's bedrock for us. We're not going to be rethinking that. I'm thinking more about how our church week goes. And I don't think back to the way it was is going to be best for us. Because while we've been in quarantine, things have changed. While we've been in quarantine, we have changed. What fit us then, I don't think will fit us going forward. Now, I don't have a lot of details clear in my mind yet, and that's why I want this stuff to be in your head as well as mine, so we can be imagining these kinds of things together. Now, when I say reimagining church week, that can sound kind of trivial. Like, what's the big deal, Doug? You're talking about tweaking the calendar. But that's not what I'm talking about. When I say church week, I'm talking about reimagining a rhythm of the soul that is centuries old. And that's not small. But I'm thinking we should do it nevertheless. Here's what spiritual communities do together. We discern wisdom and practices, stories and spiritual practices that help the human soul thrive. Then we organize a togetherness pattern. We figure out a rhythm, a week, that helps us integrate that wisdom and those practices so that we can help one another thrive, help one another become our best selves. And that's what I'm talking about reimagining. And that's not a small thing. The weekly rhythm that churches follow today, it was hammered out a long time ago, centuries ago. And when it was, it really did help us thrive. Again, that's what the church week does. But it helped us thrive in a world that really doesn't exist anymore. What it took to thrive then is different from what it takes to thrive now. One example, then the world was content poor, learning poor. Even books were rare back then. There was no TED Radio Hour. There were no podcasts. There were no audiobooks. Now, there is so much really great content. There's really just not enough time. Now, what we need is help curating, picking and choosing what's relevant of all the good stuff that is out there. But back then, none of that. So, the rhythm had to focus on sitting down and listening. But now, I think there are better ways for us to learn. I think there are better ways to do lessons. More about that in a minute. But that same world, content poor, was also community rich. Today, it's just the opposite. Yes, we are content rich, but we are community poor. We are community impoverished. Today, if we could wipe the slate clean of how the church week goes and then fundamentally redesign the rhythm, fundamentally redesign the week, it would be different because we would be trying to meet different needs. Now, we don't do that kind of fundamental rethinking because that kind of big change is difficult. That kind of big change is scary. It's been one way for centuries, and who are we to tweak it? Yeah, I've heard that before. You know, challenge Augustine, challenge original sin. You get to hear things like that. Who are you, you little punk? Now, again, I can't picture all the details of what a reimagined church week looks like yet, but I'm thinking that getting there is the same work that we've been doing together for some time. We've been reimagining our religious framing narrative. We've been reimagining our story. And we've been digging into the ancient spiritual practices and updating them in reference to science and psychology and looking at how they work so that they work in our lives now. And I think this is that same kind of work. Of all the spiritual communities that I know, I think we are positioned very well to be able to do this work, to be able to reimagine a communal rhythm, a spiritual rhythm, the church week. Again, this kind of work, we know how to do it. So, let me tell you two reasons that I think reimagining our week is important right now. The first is the other pandemic, the broken community pandemic. This graph comes from an article in Time Magazine online, and it highlights the other pandemic, the broken community pandemic. Especially hard hit are our kids, ages 18 to 22. Now, I've talked to a lot of them. I watched my own kids as they went through that age group, and I watched their cohort. For them, loneliness is a very real and very painful part of daily life. And what's striking is the number. That is true for 80% of this new young generation. It's true for 71% of those aged 23 to 38. It's 53% of those who are making more than $100,000 a year. Financial comfort is not protecting us. Even of those living with two or more other people, 65% are lonely. Now, We evolved for interdependent community. It's our natural habitat. Live in not community, and we try to normalize the consequences we do. We take pills, we self-medicate, we run on the hedonic treadmill. We do all that stuff. And most of the time, we don't even realize that what we're suffering is the consequences of not living in our natural habitat. Particularly males who think, I don't need that. We've been conditioned to not do that, and we suffer the consequences. Any strategy that we mount that doesn't put us back into the habitat for which we are designed will fail. We cannot outrun. We cannot out-medicate. We cannot undo human hardwiring. We are designed for this context. So, broken record Doug harps all the time, come on, folks, let's restitch the torn fabric of community. Come on, folks, let's restitch the torn fabric of community. Yeah, I do. A little bit harpy. But I also listen to my lessons. We change our environment, and our environment changes us. Maybe if we redesigned our week, if we redesigned our communal rhythm, that would even be more helpful than my ever so little bit eye-roll-inducing harping. Now, I'm pretty sure authentic community is on everybody's deep desire list because hardwired, because instinct, because evolution, because human. That is in us. We might not even know that it's part of our deep desire, but I'm telling you, it is in there. So instead of trying to push against the social forces allied against healthy community, maybe we could rethink our spiritual environment, rethink our church environment, rethink our church week. And then the lesson dynamic. We design our environment, and then our environment would shape us. If we re-engineer our week, we might do better at authentic spiritual community. Now, that is religion's job. It's why we designed the church week in the first place. Create the environment in which we thrive. Distill deep wisdom and practices, craft them into a rhythm that we can sustain together, and we thrive. We get healthy. Now, I think not community, broken community, is the greatest threat we face in the West. We cannot work on climate, and we cannot work on racial inequity, the other two contenders for the greatest threats, because we live in not community. You can't do those things when we are not together. So if religion is going to have any relevance at all, it must lead the way to life, to thriving, to health, to well-being. And I think if we shape our environment to make us better at authentic community, we are leading a way forward. Now, let me also say, you do work really hard on authentic spiritual community. I know you do, and well done. You're really good at it. It's cause to celebrate how well you do. But the thing is, all of us who work on that are doing it against some pretty fierce headwinds. A society without shared communal skills, a society without in-it-together consensus, without common good sensibilities. So as well as we have done, it's been in spite of our environment, not because of it. So what could we possibly do if our environment was actually helping shape us? So, factor one, why I think we need to rethink the church week, because the other pandemic. Factor number two, why I think we need to rethink the church week, we've picked up some considerable skills this last year. Technophobic grandmas and grandpas video chat with their grandkids as a matter of course now. I talked to a guide this week, part of the mass exodus out of the crowd and cost of Silicon Valley, because we can work remotely now. New skills create new possibilities. And look at us, we have new skills. We've learned how to connect online. And also, we've seen things that now we are not going to unsee. We have seen a church lesson on the couch in our pajamas with a mug of coffee. We've seen a church lesson while we're out taking a walk or while we're doing the dishes. We're not going to unsee that. Also, we have seen authentic spiritual community with people who live in California and Michigan and the UK. We've done it this year. We're not going to unsee that either. Now, not all, really, I want you to hear that. Not all, but many parts of the church week can happen without getting dressed, without hurrying the kids, without driving the car. We have skills that we did not have. And that means we have options that we did not have. There are church week options available to us that were not available a year ago. Some parts of spiritual community can only happen when we are together in the same space. And our new skills can allow us to move things around so that we can do more of those things more effectively and more creatively when we are together in the same space. Okay, so let me get specific and talk about today's title, Deconstructed Omelets and Good Wine. You might have seen the trend on the cooking shows lately, deconstructing familiar recipes. A deconstructed sandwich, or a deconstructed taco, or deconstructed lasagna. Today, omelet. We take some familiar recipe, we break it into its individual parts, and we fancy up each part. And then when we put it all back together in some new way, all the right stuff is still there, but hopefully now it's much more delicious. Well, I think this moment in history is inviting us to that, to deconstruct our church week, our communal spiritual rhythm. Again, not a lot of details yet. Actually, I probably don't even think I'm to the rough draft stage yet. I'm still in the throwing notes into a file stage. But I want to share with you a couple of notes that are in my file. I'd like your thoughts on them. And by the way, through this whole process, objections are helpful. That's how we find our way forward. Reimagining and then reimagining what we reimagined. It's how we've done it in the past. So don't feel like you have to just go along with something. Object. Okay, I think one thing we could do better is contemplative practice. We could do that better than we're doing it right now. Our contemplative groups have impacted my life. They have. I made a simple change to my environment, and it has been changing me. Incrementally, sure, but steadily. But that's not as true with how we do contemplative practice on Sundays. Not when we're in the room together and not on the live stream. So when we re-enter to get ourselves geared up to leave home, to get dressed, to gather up the kids, to drive through an average of 8 stoplights, finally to be in the same room together, that's a steep price to pay, and we pay it. Good for us. Now, I know some weeks, some of us can't pay the price, but what it does is it makes that time costly. It makes that time precious. And I'm thinking the best use of that precious, costly time is not doing contemplative light together. That's what we do on Sundays. We do contemplative light. We expose the community to contemplative practices in the hope that we will integrate them into our lives during the week. But I'm thinking if we reimagined our environment, we could do contemplative better. So there in my notes, I imagined a 15 to 20 minute contemplative live stream very early in the week. I don't know, Sunday night, maybe post it Monday morning early. I don't know what time yet. But in that live stream, I would focus for us some practice that we would do together that week. I'd lead a small guided meditation, maybe gratitude or examine or lovely loving kindness. And we'd focus on that together for the whole week. Also, Matt just showed me that our database has a phone app that we can all put on our phones where I can post resources, print and audio and video, so that everybody knows how to do the practice, everybody knows why we do the practice. And on that same app, there's a chat feature, so we could be talking to one another through the week about our practice together. So that then, when we actually pay that price, get in the car and come to be in this room together, what we could do is use that precious time for the stuff that can only be done when we are together. And here's one idea. In the old days, we called it testimony time. Some of us could share our here's how I'm growing stories. That is very motivating. My growth looked like this week. That is very motivating. Stories have been a big part of why our contemplative groups have been so meaningful. I know preparing my own story to share and then listening to others as they share theirs. So if we took contemplative practice ingredients out of the church week omelet, if we worked on it, I think when we put it back together, it could be better. Here's a second note in my file. I told this one to a minister friend. He's part of a large network of churches. It turns out I'm not the only one that's thinking this one. I think we could do our lessons better. And I think we could do What Are You Thinking better. We experience a lot of life when we do What Are You Thinking, when we're in the room together. And finding life, that's been how we have navigated our way through de- and reconstructing our religion. Whenever we found life, we would say to ourselves, hey, go do that way some more. And What Are You Thinking has been life for us. So I imagined, what if I did the full lesson on a live stream earlier in the week, 20 to 25 minutes, podcast length, drive time length, go for a walk length, wash the dishes length. And then when we gather, I do a recap of the lesson, maybe 8 to 10 minutes. First, to remind us if we listened earlier in the week, just to put us back where we were, but also because I know you, some of you will show up, will not have listened. I looked over the last few lessons. I think I could do a decent recap in about 8 minutes. And with the extra time, we could do What Are You Thinking better. The way we've done it, we only get to hear from the people who are comfortable with public speaking, usually the extroverts. But if we had a little more processing time, and if we used a non-public speaking option more effectively, like Menti, where we could post things to the wall, we could put them up there anonymously so you don't have to feel the embarrassment, I bet we'd get to hear from more among us. I often hear from the introverts, and I wish you could too, because some of the best stuff happens after we stop What Are You Thinking. Also, I'm kind of chomping at the bit right now, thinking if we had more time for What Are You Thinking, I would love to frame better questions to evoke deeper thinking, even better conversation. So I think if we took the lesson and the What Are You Thinking ingredients out of the omelet and we worked on them, when we put them back together, I think we could make them better. Last thing, real quick, we have also found life when we eat together. Now, that's been tough to coordinate. It's been tough to... Gene's over here waving. It's been tough to find the time to do it. But if we were to time shift some of the other parts of the church week, maybe we could eat together more often. So I asked Carol about that this week. What do you think? Could we do food together more often? She thought a minute. A bunch of details. She's really good at details. Well, Doug, has to be simple. Can't be a burden. Has to be an invitation, not an obligation, especially for the newcomers. Lots of details. But then she said, yeah, I do. I think we could eat together more. And I think it could be really good. Now, I don't know exactly when re-entry will happen. The president suggested on Thursday, maybe 4th of July picnics. But if we use this time to reimagine our re-entry with discernment and with intention, I think we can shape an environment that will better shape us. And I think we can make the church weak. The church rhythm better. Quick last thing, new wine. If you are not familiar with the term, that's a Bible reference fixing to show up. We spent 10 years rethinking, reimagining our religion's core framing narrative. We spent another 10 years rethinking and reimagining ancient and contemporary spiritual practices, and it is good. It is really good. It's new wine good. And Jesus suggested that new wine needs new wineskins. Now, I think our reentry plan is a chance to do that. The old church week, when it was new, with all that new wine in it, it created the perfect environment for fermenting and for aging something beautiful. And then it got old and less beautiful. And now, as we've discerned our own new wine, I think we need new skins. A reimagined church week. So my invitation is in our Zoom groups together, as we go on walks with one another, if you'll use the contact button, it'll get to me, we can be talking together. Let's begin reimagining together, deconstructing, and then reconstructing the spiritual environment that shapes us. Now, as we get closer to reentry, who knows when that's going to happen, I hope we can do some larger Zoom chats as a have a real community meeting where we can talk back with one another. Now again, this is work that we've done before. We know how to do the work of reimagining and rethinking. Because we have, we know, yes, it is daunting, it is. But I am pretty sure that if anybody can do it, we can do it. We've reimagined new wine, and again, it's really good. I think we can do the strip it down and build it back up work that would be required to build a church week that becomes the environment that will shape us, optimized for thriving, optimized for well-being in this world that we now live in. I think we can do it. And in the days ahead, I'd really like to hear what you think about how we could do it too. So, Inner Divine, an even healthier community upon reentry, may that be so. Amen. Well, if you would, please prepare your offerings. We all donate online now. And as you do, remember that every investment that we make in spiritual community has a great return on investment. Every unit of love and of energy and of time and of dollars that we give returns to us because this is the environment in which we were designed to live. So please donate online. And that being said, what are you thinking about? What's stirring up in your heart? Gene, what are people posting?
So I'm going to start with three comments. Bethany Goodson says, I don't need more content, I need family. Carrie Brock says, preach. And Ange Scioli says, isn't it crazy how someone says the thing and you see it so clearly? So that was all in response to what you just delivered.
Well, let me talk about that content one. I still think there's a role for these Sunday lessons, but I don't think it's content creating. I think one of the jobs of the minister going forth will be content curating. There is so much good stuff out there, but not all that stuff is relevant to a community at a given time. For someone to gather, actually do a little bit of pre-digesting and then bring something to us to begin to reflect on together, I think that will continue to be an important role. But it used to be that we sent ministers off to go to school to learn how to create content. Now, I don't know any minister, no matter how smart they are, how much education they get, who can compete with what is out there and available now. No, I think what we do is we learn to gather, we learn to collate, and we learn to curate, and we learn to present. I think that's kind of what the role will be in the future. It's kind of already that role. I do that a lot now anyway. What else, Gene?
Sue Kempel says, our Zoom connections during the pandemic have helped us get closer to many people in the community in a way that wouldn't have been possible before. It's also created a stronger desire to connect more authentically and in person in our spiritual community on the other side of this thing, loving this idea of rethinking how we do all this.
Excellent. Yeah, I will tell you something. Being in person in this building, if that is 10 units of connecting capacity, when we do it on Zoom, as we get better at it, as we develop these skills, I think we get 9 units of connecting capacity. There is a little bit we lose because Zooms just go faster. There isn't the just hang out in a non-structured space. It's kind of you're on and then you're off. So you lose something. But here's what you gain by doing it on Zoom. People get in the room together. It is such a laborious thing midweek or at off times to be able to get people from Apex all the way from North Raleigh, from Cary, to get people from Zebulon, to get all the people to come here into the room and do the thing together. We can do that on Zoom, which we could not do before, which means we actually do it. And so what we lose, I think we more than gain by actually being in those spaces together. And an added advantage is we get to be with Jamie from Greensboro. We get to be from Sarah Joy in UK and Jack in UK. We get to be from people in California. So what else, Jack? What else?
Mariah Luke says, I'm on board.
Who said
with
that?
This. Mariah Luke.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm on board with this. Changing the routine. In my experience, a helpful weekly benchmark for spiritual growth and nourishment has been the balance of give some wisdom, get some wisdom. share and be shared with or experience someone else's experience, and preferably as unselectively as possible. I wonder if that holds for anyone else. Maybe this could be a new church week option, as you suggest.
I think when we think about the other pandemic, and we think about what is needed to help us really develop the atrophied desire, because that's one of the big problems. We don't feel like we need to go out and make connections with people. Now, we're over here medicating our anxiety, not realizing that there's a link between the two. We're over here spending our night hours grinding our teeth. You know, we're doing these things because we're not in these contexts. But so developing the desire, I think what Mariah shared, yes, because I know when something happens during What Are You Thinking? And someone stands up and says, I want to tell you my story. I feel like I have received as much as I have given. And, you know, I prepare every week and do a lesson every week. And so I think the give and take that Mariah is describing, I think when we are in the room together and when we pay the high price of doing that thing, I think that needs to be a significant part of what we do. Yep. Was that a hand over there? No, all right. All right, what else?
There's lots of comments. I'm going to just go through a few. Bob Love says, the ability of each of us to time shift contemplative practice to a time that is more in sync with our daily flow may be more fruitful for many of us.
Yep. All right, so here's going to be the hang-up. We're not used to that. And so the hang-up's going to be, yeah, you don't show up. And the hang-up is we start doing this thing and, you know, seven of us are there. And that's the hang-up. And so there's going to have to be some cajoling, maybe. We'll do some cajoling.
Rebecca said, my favorite part of the virtual pandemic community has been the What Are You Still Thinking Zooms. The reflection becomes much more nuanced when there is time for conversation to ebb and flow, ideas to bounce back and forth, and open dialogue rather than question and answer.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody, Rebecca, I think that's true. Everybody I've talked to who's participated in the What Are You Still Thinking time afterwards has said, okay, it takes more time, but in exchange, this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And so I think Zoom is in our future, or some iteration of Zoom, no matter what we do, because we live at distance. And so whether that Zoom is for the contemplative groups or whether that Zoom is for What Are You Still Thinking, or, you know, whether it's a book club that we do, the ability to actually be together gets so enhanced when we can do it in a living room or in your car because the kids are too noisy inside, which I've been on Zooms with people who did that. Yeah, I think that's in our future.
Wanted to talk about the eating thing. Sue Kemple says, communion has long been integral to worship in our tradition. Eating together is true communion and deepens spiritual life together. Also wine. My comment on that was, it's hard to stab the people you're eating with when you're stuffing the fork in your mouth, and when you're chewing, it forces you to listen.
So, Sue, sounds like you've done some seminary or something. First thing that came to my mind when I started thinking about eating together was what communion used to be called back in the ancient days, called the common meal. We shared a meal in common. And bread and wine were part of it. That's true. But there was also eating. That was as much considered. Now, here's some church jargon. That was as much considered the worship as was the speaking of the words or the saying of the prayers, the eating of the food was just as much a part of worship. And that is significant in our tradition because it's human. There is something to what Gene said. When we eat together, something happens of community forming. Now, the logistics of that just blow my mind because I am not a detailed person. Thank God for Carol, and I don't know how we'll do it. I just get daunted by the prospect of how to do that. But I know from the experience of the ancient wisdom as well as current in our own experience, there is life in the food that we share with one another. So, yeah. All right, one more.
Let's see. Michael Walker chimes in, says, as a remote worker, I read a lot about best practices from workplaces that have been heavily or majority remote for years. Almost universally, they have a rhythm of working apart for a period of time and then coming together quarterly or semi-annually for a focus week to do things that can only be done face-to-face. Obviously, spiritual community and workforce community would meet more versus workforce community would meet more frequently, but I think there are real parallels in the business world. What is that that thing we do best in person we can focus on for the less frequent times than when we're physically face-to-face?
Yeah. That's important. All right.
Also, a bunch of comments about people who have recently joined our spiritual community, and their only experience of us is this format.
Yeah.
So they're all would very much looking forward to getting together.
Okay. Well, me too, because we've been meeting online, but that's not the same. Remember, I said there are some things that can only be done when we are in the room together. I'm thinking by time shifting the things that can be done online, we can use that time more intentionally. And part of that is I'm looking forward to getting to know you all. All right, my friends, so if you would, please keep thinking about this and keep talking together about this. And as you have good ideas, make sure you put it on if you can never find another outlet, you can always just go to the Contact Us button and just put it in there. It'll get to me eventually. I'd love to read it, and we'll talk about it together. And so if you would, please put your hand on your heart, and let's remember as we go that we are all carriers of the inner divine. Light and love and truth are within us because the divine is within us. And let's look. Extend our other hand to our city and look for opportunities to share what's in us with the people that we live and work and go to school with, looking for opportunities to repair and heal our worlds. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed. Please keep talking. Go over to What Are You Thinking? And see you next week. If these recordings help you move forward on your spiritual journey, we hope you'll take an ownership stake in the community and support the health and well-being of the community. You can go to our website, commonthreadchurch.org. The donate button is at the top of the page for your computer's browser, at the bottom of the page for your phones.